Good evening, everyone.
Thanks, Vic. Beautiful. Always. Always gets you in the mood. We really appreciate you coming out here on the weeknights like this and blessing us like that. I just want to say a few words. The ladies' seminar is all wrapped up for another year. And, you know, me and Scott, we got it up here, but Judy's lived it. You know, when you listen to her, you know she's been there and done that, so... And it's kind of unfair that you ladies have this advantage that a lot of other women in America, most women in America, in the church even, is not having. You gave that example yesterday of the whole show. They never mention Jesus or probably focus on a family or one of those. They're afraid. They're afraid to name the name. But I've been exegeting John chapter 9 for the last month or so, and I figured out we'll start out, we'll just read it first. You can follow in your Bible if you want, but this is what I rendered from my notes and my exegesis, and so it might be a little different than your version. We'll start out. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for these people who love you so much. They come out on a Friday night when there's a million other things to do, Lord. There's things going on in our country and this terrible storm that just came through, Lord. We just ask you that you will that you will pull many, many out of the water, Lord, and save them, give them a reason to live and a reason to glorify your name, and that all these things come through you, Lord, the blessings and the afflictions. You're the Father of them all, and you have a purpose for them, and we just pray that that purpose will be fulfilled. Many will come to saving faith. And just bless your word tonight, Lord. It's Friday Night Live. We're a little lighthearted usually on Friday nights, so bear with us, Lord. Give me the words. Help me to say what these people need to hear and what I need to hear, because I need to hear just as much as they do. And I thank you very much, Lord, and we just thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you've given us. And we just can't thank you enough. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to start out, like I said, reading the chapter. It's John chapter 9. We all know the man who was born blind. I've subtitled it, and the Pharisees who were willfully blind. They weren't born blind. They just were willfully blind. Okay, let's start off. Verse 1. And passing by, he saw a man that had been blind from birth. His disciples asked him, verse 2, saying, Rabbi, which one of these sinned, this one or his parents, that he might be born blind? Of course, it sounds like a stupid question to us, but back in those days, the Pharisees really liked to keep you in, sort of like the Catholic Church does, keep you guilty, keep you going back for penance and stuff. And so there, a lot of teachings was going around that an infant in a womb could sin, and or his parents especially. Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither did this one sin nor his parents, but on the contrary, but for the purpose that the works of God might be manifested. This blind man, he didn't know it, but he had a divine appointment with the capital O, optologist, this day. Jesus knew where it was going to happen, but this blind guy had no idea what was coming. You can imagine somebody that's just seeing for the first time in their life, how they could feel, but we can only imagine. Verse 4, we must work the works of the one having sent me while it is still daylight. Night itself comes when no one is able to work. As long as I am in the world, the cosmos world, I might be the light of the world. Saying these things, he spit on the ground and made clay out of the spittle and rubbed it on his eyes. That word is accresin. Rubbed it on his eyes. That's the same in 1 John 2:27. We have received the anointment. Same word, creasing. And he rubbed it on his eyes. Verse 7, he said to him, go away and wash in the pool of Siloam, which interpreted means sent. It was funny there that the word for interpreted is hamenudo, which is where we get our word hermeneutics, the interpretation of the Bible. Therefore, he went out, washed, and he came back seeing. Therefore, his neighbors and the ones seeing him previously that he was a beggar, saying, is this not the one who was sitting and begging alms? Many were saying that this is the one. Many others kept saying, this is not the one, but he is like him. But he kept saying, I am the one. Therefore, they were saying to him, how were your eyes opened? They were curious. That one answered, a man who was called Jesus made clay and rubbed it on my eyes and said, go up and wash in the Siloam. Therefore I went and washed, and I received my sight. And they said to him, where is this one? He says, I have no idea. Verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees, the one who had once been blind. Now being the Sabbath on that day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, Therefore the Pharisees were asking him again, "How is it that you see?" But he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I see." Therefore those belonging to the Pharisees were saying, "This man could not be from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." They were all worried about the Lord of the Sabbath keeping the Sabbath. That's pretty crazy. Many others were saying, "How does a man who was a sinner able to do such signs?" And a division arose, a schism, another schism. 652 and 712 of John also were schisms. They couldn't figure Jesus out. He not only had them hating him, but they had them fighting amongst each other. And I guess he didn't bring the big peace on the earth. He brought a sword. And like I said, here, I think I'm ready for 17 here now. "Therefore, they said to the blind one again, 'What do you say concerning him that opened your eyes?' He said that he is a prophet." I don't know if that was, he meant the prophet or a prophet, but the Deuteronomy 18:15 prophet, Jesus said, or Moses said, "God will send another prophet just like me. Listen to him. Don't listen to me no more. Listen to him." But they weren't listening to Moses, even though they said they were his disciples here in a little while. "Therefore, the Jews did not believe that concerning him, and that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the one who had received his sight. They questioned them, 'Is this your son, the one that was born blind? How then does he now see?' And his parents answered and said, 'We know for sure that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But now, how he sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him, he is of age. He can speak concerning himself.'" The parents were copping out because they were scared. "This his parents said, that he is of age, because of the fear of the Jews, for already the Jews had taken a stand together that if they might confess, homologo, Christ, he might be sent away from the synagogue." Verse 23, "It was because of this that his parents said that he is of age. Question him. Therefore they called in the man which had been blind, and they said to him, 'Give glory to God. We know for sure that this man is a sinner.' Then that one answered, 'If he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see.'" Hey, somebody wrote a song about that, didn't they? "Amazing grace. Then they said to him, 'What did he do to you? How did he open his eyes?'" Second time. "He answered them, 'I told you already and you did not hear. Why do you want to hear again? You don't also want to be his disciple.' They reviled him verbally, and they said, 'You are a disciple of this one, but we are Moses' disciples. We have always known that God spoke through Moses, but this one, we have no idea where he is from.'" They didn't know. That's oida. That's a perfect knowledge, so they perfectly didn't know. "This one, we have no idea. That's why I said it that way." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is one thing is amazing. And you have not known where he's from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but on the contrary, if anyone might be God-fearing and might do his work, that one he does hear. From all time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of one having been born blind. If this one were not of God, he would not be able to do anything.' They answered and said to him, 'You were born in sin. You completely born in sin, and you are going to teach us.' Then they threw him out. That one answered and said," oh, here, 35, I forgot. "Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and finding him, said, 'Do you believe in the Son of Man?' That one answered and said, 'Who is he, sir, that I might believe in him?' Jesus said to him, 'He is the one you are looking at, and also the one who was speaking to you. Just like he said to the lady at the well, it's me that I'm speaking to you. I am. And that one implied, I believe, Lord. And he fell down and worshiped. Proskuneo. That's a funny word. Proskuneo. The root word there is dog. Like in Philippians. Beware the dogs. Well, that word comes, it's like a master sitting in his chair and how his dog might come over and lick his hand and get down and ask him for some food. Well, that's where that word worship came from, a dog licking his master's hand. 39, and Jesus said, it is for judgment that I have come into the cosmos, so that the ones who don't see might see. The ones who see might themselves be blind. That's in the middle voice. They choose. That's why I said they're willfully blind. Excuse me. It was their own choice. Verse 40. The ones belonging to the Pharisees, those who were with him, and they said to him, we're not blind also? Jesus said to them, if you had been blind, you would not had sin. But now you say, we see, your sin remains. They loved darkness rather than light. They would not come to the light because their deeds were evil. Also in John 15:22, pretty much the same thing he said. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. All right, here he was, Jesus. He's on the stage of human history now. He's made his appearance. He came to his own, and they received him not. The true light which coming into the world enlightens every man and woman. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world didn't know him. Here was, as he predicted, by Isaiah, the promised prophet of Deuteronomy 18:15, Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, it says that about going to the temple and teaching, going to the Mount of Olives to pray, it was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He opened the book, found a place where it is written, 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is in on me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. There he is, preview. To set free the oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all eyes were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All were speaking well of him and amazed at the gracious words that were falling from his lips. But they had to go and ruin. Isn't this Jesus? Isn't this Joseph's son? Already rejected. Truly a prophet is never accepted in his own town, in his own hometown. Excuse me. John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That word is kata lambano. Kata, down, and lambano, to take, receive, or seize. They couldn't take it down. They were powerless against it. You can't really say it's a battle between light and dark, because there ain't much of a battle. Darkness doesn't have a chance with the light of the world shining on it. Light would always rule because the darkness could never comprehend it. Darkness is no match for the light, though it seems that the darkness is a strong foothold on the earth today, even as it did when the Lord came to visit. Satan uses it to his advantage. 2 Corinthians 4:3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Darkness does not only affect the eyes, but the ears, the thinking, the very hearts of men are affected by darkness. Deuteronomy 28:29, and you will grope at noon. I like that word, grope. As the blind man gropes in darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually, with none to save you. Even Job felt that struggle. By day they meet me with darkness, and grope at noon as in the night. Wait.
Get a drink.
Oh, Lord. Romans 1:21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Ephesians 4:17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you no longer walk just as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. Darkness can be deceptive. Men choose darkness over light. John 3:19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. As Jesus was talking to Nicodemus there. But the good news is that Jesus has given us the victory over darkness. For we were formerly light, formerly darkness, but now we are light in the Lord as the children of light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. 8:12 of John. Jesus again began to spoke, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus said to them in 12:35, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light so that the darkness will not overtake you. Who he walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself because they were chasing him Every so often he had to hide in the crowd because they were getting ready to stone him. These things Jesus spoke, and he went and hid himself. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. They couldn't look him in the face because they would have saw that light and they would have had to repent. Because the light is far more stronger. As I was studying John 9, it hit me that it wasn't merely about a man born blind, but it was about the battle, like I said, that's a bad word, between light and darkness. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world, versus the Jewish rulers. They just could not believe that a man who says he is from God would do such an evil thing as to give sight to a blind man on a Sabbath. How dare him, they probably thought. Who does he think he is? Well, he just got done telling you in the last chapter, before Abraham was, I am. So that's who he is. Knows it's running. He just told them before Abraham was that I am, but they had been under the influence of darkness for so long they couldn't see the light. because they refused to see, because their deeds were evil, and they weren't about to let him ruin the good thing that they had gone. Just like politicians and stuff today, they're all billionaires, and I don't know where they get it, because they only make a couple hundred thousand a year, probably. But and others feared the Pharisees rather than rejoicing in the glory of God that would make a man whole on the Sabbath. Even his neighbors who saw him begging did not believe. His parents copped out, and they were afraid. They were afraid to speak to the Pharisees and tell them what actually happened. And sad. It's sad when you have that much fear of a person or of a system that you can be afraid that you can be kicked out of church. Or it's almost like so many people are losing their jobs and stuff, it seems, anymore, and just because they have an opinion about something. And that's not right. So they said again, "What did he do to open your eyes? I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not become his disciples too, do you?" The man answered and said, "Here's an amazing thing, that you do not know where he's from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing, does his will, he hears him." Jesus heard they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" Jesus said, "You have both seen him, and he is the one talking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And then darkness is no big deal, really, to the Lord. In the beginning, he made the lesser light to rule the night, and the sun to rule the day. Psalm 139, David puts it like this, verse 11. "If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are alike to you." Or in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Isaiah 45:5, "I am the Lord, there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will guard you, though you have not known me." That's grace, sounds like, huh? "That men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things." There's no reason to fear the darkness, because the Lord's in control. The Lord's in control of everything. Though it is great, the darkness is great, it's covered the earth in these days, we can relax. Romans 13:12 and 14. "The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity, with sensuality, not in strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts." How do we put on the Lord Jesus? Reckon and yield. "I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But no, not I, Christ lives in me." That's how you put him on. "For this reason," it says, Ephesians 5:13-17, "but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason," it says, "awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Walk as wise men, making the most of every opportunity. The days are definitely evil. So let us walk in the light while we have the light. When the darkness comes, we'll be the children of light. Continuing his word, and you will be his disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Take advantage of every opportunity. Be here on Tuesdays and Sundays. Read on your own. Download the messages. Re-listen to them. Write down the verses. Look them up. Get all the words you can, because the days are truly evil. Don't have to explain that one. Everybody knows that. But make the most of opportunity. John 1:5. This is the message, 1 John, sorry. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of sin. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And whatever flows is our fellowship with one another. So that's what makes it precious in his sight. Psalm 119:05. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is this darkness? Be careful to take in more light than darkness, by faith and by sight. Not by sight, sorry. But that was the problem with these Pharisees. They were full of darkness, and they thought it was light, but they really didn't. No comprehension of how terrible, how dark it was in their minds. John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge the righteous judgment. Don't be a Pharisee, please. 8:15, Jesus told him, you judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone, but even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father who sent me. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves is your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The one who created the light is greater than the one who uses darkness as a cloak for his evil. 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than, he who is in the world. Isaiah 19, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Here was the light. He's made his visit to earth. And he would spend 3.5 years shining his light. Everything he said, everything he did. Jesus didn't waste no time. If he was in a synagogue, he was teaching. If he went to the temple, he just didn't hang out. He was teaching. Even when he went to the temple on a non-Moses holiday at the end of chapter 11, which was the Festival of Lights, they call it, Hanukkah, I guess, they were still there at the temple. That's when the hammer Maccabee or somebody cleansed the temple. That was a holiday they had now. But Jesus was on Solomon's porch. He wasn't inside the temple. But he was still there to argue with the Pharisees again. There he was, yelling at them. And this was after he had raised Lazarus. And Pharisees were getting fed up. Are you going to tell us who you are? Huh? Or are you just going to leave us up in the air? So they were spent most of their time hating him. I had to listen today just when I need a good chuckle and I want to hear Jesus really rip. I read or listen to Matthew 23. The woe to you Pharisees, blind guides. When a blind man needs a blind man, they don't do anything, but both of them falls in the pit. So make sure that your leader's not blind. And we have good teaching in this place from all directions. Even Vicky teaches us with her songs all the time, and it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing to be here and to be associated with all of you there. And I really didn't have a lot tonight, but I spent all week wondering what I could preach on. Spent so much time wondering, and you hardly have time to get anything ready. But I'll be ready. I'll be ready for vacation when Scott goes on vacation. We'll be ready for that one. You can be sure. And let's pray. Father, just thank you so much for your word. It's like the manna. Too much is not too much, and a little is plenty. And Lord, we just thank you that your word has so much power, and that you are the light, Lord. And your light's shining so much these days that it's showing evil for what it is. I think that's why it's so rampant, because your light, like it says, darkness is fading. The night is almost gone. Evil's being shown for what it really is, utterly evil. And it will only continue till you come back, Lord. Come quickly. We can't wait. Father, just bless, like I said again, bless those people in Florida and the Carolinas and that, and help them physically, but more especially, help them mentally, Lord, and spiritually, that many will come to be saved. It's so easy, Lord. So easy. Mere faith alone in Christ alone. Can't beat it. And I thank you for that. And thank you for the fellowship here we're going to have later. And the food and fellowship. And it'll be a blessing. And we just thank you so much for everything. In Jesus' precious name, amen.